I'm going to be preaching this morning out of Jonah chapter 1, the first six verses. And if you know me at all and know my story, part of this story is about me. So bear with me as I go through this. And I just want to ask a question. When you think of Jonah, what's the first thing you think of? So who is Jonah? What do you think of first? Anybody?
Jonah and a whale.
Jonah and a whale. Okay. Anything else?
Stubborn.
He's stubborn? Yeah. That fits me. Yes.
Jonah and the whale.
Jonah and the whale. Yeah. Anything else? All right. So what did the whale do to Jonah? He ate him. Okay. Well, I'm not going that far into the story, but because I haven't been ate yet, so we'll see. That might happen one of these days. We know Jonah as a prophet who was called by God to go to Nineveh. God called him to go to Nineveh. And of course, Jonah didn't like Nineveh, so he went and hired a ship to take him all the way to Tarshish. And Tarshish is a long ways away, a place the gospel had not been presented yet. So God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. But instead, Jonah decided he wanted to go to Tarshish, where the gospel had never been presented yet. I don't know, it seemed like a good plan to me. But So he went and hired a ship to take him to Tarshish. And during this trip, there was a great storm that threatened the lives of all the crew members of that ship. Jonah admitted to running from his call to go to Nineveh, and he had a crew throw him overboard. So God created a large fish, so he could swallow a full whole grown man. Excuse me while I take this jacket off. I'm about to burn up here. So while Jonah was in the fish, he had plenty of time to think about it. Repented of his sin of disobedience. The fish then spit Jonah out onto dry land. Now with seaweed wrapped around his head, Jonah headed towards Nineveh. Jonah not only preached the message of repentance and salvation to the Ninevites, he watched to see what would happen. The people of Nineveh, they did something that Jonah was sort of expecting. They repented, and God spared their lives. Now, I want you to understand something, that the story of Jonah is a true story. It's not a made-up one. It is true. It's a story of a man called by God who chose to run, realizing that running from God was not the answer. He heeded to his call. So are you running from God's call today? Are you running from God's call? So running from God's call affects more than just you. It affects more than just you. Let's pray, and then we will get into our scripture this morning. Father God, I just thank you so much for the story of Jonah and how it represents Jesus Christ and his life. And not only that, it shows as a witness to me, to touch me, to get me back on track with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Jonah, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. We're going to the first six verses here. And I'm out of the CSB. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city in Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me." Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. But the Lord threw a great wind unto the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down the lowest part of the vessel and stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. Verse 6 says, "The captain approached him and says, 'What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. So God calls Jonah. See, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. The first command that God gave Jonah was to get up and go. God has given every one of us that same command. See, Jesus, in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, give his disciples that same command. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and on the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of age. See, what else would a discipleship pastor preach other than discipleship, right? See, discipleship, it's not a new concept. It happened even back in the days of Jonah. God's people were called to go and share the gospel. Share the good news with those around them. Repent from your evil ways and be saved is what Jonah's message was. See, verse 2 says, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. It's their evil. Where did this evil come from? God created everything perfect and saw that creation was very good. Because on the sixth day, after God had created everything, he sat back and said, this was very good. Sin found its way through Adam and Eve, and who was tempted by Satan to go against God's word and break God's command. See, breaking God's command broke the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, broke the relationship that we have with God. See, broken relationship caused by sin in our lives allowed evil to enter into the world, enter into our world. Christians, we are called to go and preach against this evil. Repent and be saved. Because we know this is not what Jonah did. Jonah fled from God's call. Jonah fled from God's call. He flees God's call. Turn to verse 3 for me. While you're there, let's look at it again. It says, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down to it with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Tarshish must be an important subject to this verse because it's in there three times. So when God calls us to go witness to someone, we sometimes don't answer that call. So what is our response? What do we usually do when God calls us to go witness to someone? Well, mine's usually, I'll go do it later. That's usually my first response. Or maybe I'm just too busy right now. I like this one. It says, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to share with them. I don't know enough to share. I've heard that from pretty much everybody I've ever talked to. I don't know enough to share the gospel with someone. Or maybe you just say no. Maybe you just say no. So where is Tarshish? I'm going to show you something here, if I can even reach it. Joppa is way over here. Tarshish is way over here. And this is the Mediterranean Sea. And Nineveh is just off the screen up there in the middle. I couldn't find one that would get them all on there so you could see it. But so Tarshish is 2,500 miles away from Joppa. Nineveh was only 500 miles from Joppa. See, Tarshish is the farthest place in the known world from Nineveh at that time. They didn't know that the world went farther than Tarshish. They thought that was the end of it. There was no people beyond that. See, it was a place the Lord had not sent any prophet to yet. Jonah found a ship that was going to Tarshish because it was the fastest way there. He could have went on land, but it would have took him forever. But even a ship in that day would have took him 3 years to go round trip from Joppa to Tarshish back to Joppa again, because it took them that long to get there and back with the weather and everything they had to deal with. See, Jonah paid the fare and went down inside the ship. He went and hid. He went down in the cargo hold, a place where the crew and nobody else could find him, out of sight from man, and what he thought was out of sight from God. See, Jonah's world was in chaos. He was living in a broken world, doing things his own way, not God's way. He's doing it his own way. So we find ourselves doing things the same thing in our lives. We live life on our own terms, in our own way, without God's advice or direction. You might want to watch out, because trouble might be on your way, because God did get Jonah's attention, didn't he? Verse 4 says, "But the Lord threw a great wind into the sea, and such a great storm arose that the sea on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart." Has God got your attention? Has he gotten your attention yet? You know, sometimes he's a little subtle. Maybe he just overslept in the morning, making you late for school or for work. Maybe you got up on time, but your dog was sick during the middle of the night and you had to clean up everything, so that made you late. You got ready to leave the house, and then you found out your car don't start, so you had to work on that to get it started so you could go to work. So you're still late, right? Maybe you had a flat tire. You get your tire changed. You finally get out on the road, and then there's a traffic jam, and you still can't get to work. Wow, and your day's just getting started. Now you found out that you forgot an assignment, an important assignment that was due that day. And you had a team that was planning on you presenting that assignment to get it all done. But, you know, your team is, it's just that. They're your support group. And they decide to give you another chance, give you a break. Well, look at everything that happened to him. It was a good reason why he forgot. So we'll go on. We'll give you another day to work on this. You can bring it tomorrow. You get home, you totally forget all about the assignment that you had to do, that you needed to get done, that you needed to prepare for. So is your ship about to fall apart? Chaos is at your door. So you decide to hide from everyone because you need a Savior. You need a Savior. See, Jonah, verse 5 says, "The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gotten down to the lowest part of the vessel and stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep." See, Jonah went down and hid. He was asleep. You do that when your assignment was due and you forget all about it and you wish you had never decided to do that. So you can't be found. Your team is in trouble. So they start to scramble. What should we do? What should we do? They begin to do things their own way. Every crew member had their own way of dealing with problems when they arose. Their last resort was to pray to their God. Say, "God, help us or we will die." That's what they were saying on the ship with Jonah. You see, they were praying to dead gods, not the one true living God. Nothing was happening, so they started to get rid of everything that they had on board. Remember, they were throwing everything overboard to lighten the load, make lives easier on them so they didn't have to try to bail out as much water. See, these sailors, they thought they were going to lose their lives and was willing to do anything to save it. They were willing to do anything to save it. Jonah didn't care because he was sound asleep in the lowest part of the ship. He did not come to their rescue. As the sailors kept throwing items overboard, they finally found Jonah. See, he was down there with all the cargo that they were throwing over. And they found Jonah laying there sound asleep. They yelled, "Wake up, Jonah." See, even when we are asleep, God still works in our lives. God allows us to go where we want to go, do what we want to do. But God does not let us ignore him. Look at verse 6. It says, the captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. See, your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, are they searching for a way out? They may not yell at you like the captain did to Jonah to wake him up. Maybe they just ask a simple question as, "What do you think of this? Why does this always happen to me? Or I've lost it all now. What am I going to do?" Maybe you are like Jonah, sound asleep. See, I was like Jonah. I was sound asleep. A friend of mine one day came into work and looked straight at me and asked me, "What are you doing? So what are you doing with your life?" See, I wanted to live life my own way, do things my own way, follow God when I was ready to follow him, not when God wanted me to follow. My friend woke me up. Of course, I started to search for God again and repented of my sin to him. I'm here this morning to give you your wake-up call. So get up. What are you called to do that you are not doing? God was called Jonah just to go give a simple message. Repent from your evil ways and turn to God. That was it. See, God called me when I was a young boy to go and preach the gospel to everyone who would listen. That's why I'm here. See, Acts 1:8 says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the last part of that says, we are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. That includes all your neighbors, all your coworkers, all your friends, all your acquaintances. Go and be a witness to God to them. So we need to repent and believe God will do what he said. Repentance will restore the relationship between God and us. Look at the very last part of Jonah, verse 6 again. It says, maybe this God will consider us. Maybe this God will consider us. Are you struggling so bad that you think God can't hear you? But God, the one who created everything, he loves you enough that he sent his only begotten Son. So that everyone who will believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. See, without Jesus coming, we have no hope. Without Jesus dying on the cross, there is no hope for us. But Jesus, he did die on the cross because he loved us. There's nothing that we could ever do on our own. To be saved from this world, be saved from our own sins, be saved from this evil. See, Jonah did not like the Ninevites. But he knew God would save them if they repented of their sin. He didn't like them. That's why he didn't want to go. So why is the story of Jonah so important? Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41 gives us a sight and gives us a little insight into this. Excuse me. It says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." So Jesus answered them and said, "An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's preaching. And look, something greater than Jonah is here." Jesus is what's greater than Jonah. We need to remember that. See, Jonah's refusal to follow God's call affects us more than just himself. It affected everyone who was on that ship with him. It affected the whole nation of Nineveh. My refusal to answer God's call affected more than just me. It affected my wife. It affected my kids' lives. It affected everyone that I was in charge of in my life. Everyone I dealt with, it affected all of them. So your refusal to answer God's call affects more than just you. First Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1. Excuse me again. Said about the time and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and the help of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to tame salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whatever we are awake or asleep, we may live together with them. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. See, our calling at the bare minimum is to share the good news with those around us. How do we do this? You know, the easy way is just to bring up God in our everyday lives. What did God do for you today? Each and every one of us is up, sitting in here in a chair. Maybe you're online watching. But God has done something for you already today. He allowed you to get up and to worship Him. He's already done that. This time of the year should be the easiest time of the year to share the gospel with those around us. Because it's Christmas, right? So what is Christmas all about? It's all about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Maybe we could talk about a sermon that you heard that you liked a lot. Just talk about that. And if you don't know anyone, pray for opportunities to share the gospel with someone. He will put someone in front of you. Trust me. I've done it. It happens. Maybe you're still way too scared to share the gospel with someone on a one-on-one conversation. Invite them. invite them to hear the gospel with someone that is sharing the gospel, who is willing to share the gospel with them. Just invite them. See, your refusal to follow God's call affects more than just you. I want to say this morning, I hope I grabbed your attention today. And if I did, and if you plan on sharing the gospel with others this week, be clear on the message. Be clear on the message. See, God created each and every one of us in His image. There's something special about each and every one of us. We're created in His image, not the image of something else. But man, we did sin against God, causing evil to enter this world. So our sin brought death to man. Then God loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. Jesus saved us by living a sinless life, giving Himself up to an evil world. He died on the cross, taking our sin to the grave with Him, rose from the grave 3 days later, defeating death and the penalty that we owed. Sent it into heaven to prepare a place for those who believe and trust in Him. Maybe you haven't trusted in Jesus yet in your life, but it's not too late. As long as there's still breath in your lungs, it is not too late. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Because one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Verse 11 says, for the Scripture says, everyone who believes on Him will not be put to shame. Since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, so there's no difference between you and me. Because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on Him. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father God, I just thank You so much for the message You give me today. God, without the sign of Jonah and his refusal to follow You at first command, that maybe we would see that there's no hope in us, since we usually we refuse at first command. God, I repent of my sin, Father. I ask You to restore it to a new life that You promised. God, I just ask that if there's anyone here this morning that has not trusted in You, that they do trust in You, that they call upon You. God, I just praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.